السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. التائبون العابدون الحامدون السائحون الراكعون الساجدون الآمرون بالمعروف والناهون عن المنكر والحافظون لحدود الله وبشر المؤمنين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, it is the month of Ramadan, and you will definitely listen to ayat of the Quran Sharif and hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and other mazameen and topics that are relevant and related to the month of Ramadan. As we discussed last week, the purpose of fasting is to develop this taqwa. And when a person will become muttaqi, when the person will have the sifat of taqwa in him, that he is restraining himself from haram. Because we can make as much ibadat as possible. We can make our salat, we can make our zikr, we can make our tilawat. We can go for umrah upon umrah and hajj upon hajj. But if we don't learn to restrain ourselves from haram, and haram not only when we are eating chicken, because at present that's about the only thing that we know, that the chicken must be halal. We can digest the properties of others, devour the properties of the orphans and the widows, and don't even burp, no matter how much we have taken into our system. And then we think that we have attained piety and taqwa, because we are very particular about chicken. So we must be quite careful that we don't eat haram chicken, but at the same time we mustn't eat up and devour the properties of others. That is worse. Because if a person puts into his belly property that was belonging to the orphans and to the widows, of course he's not going to put the property into his stomach, but the income that will come from that property, then he's going to purchase whatever he has to purchase. And that is making use of the property of the orphans and the widows without being eligible to use it, or without having the right to use it. Then this person is putting fire into his belly. He is putting fire into his belly. And sooner or later, all that property will go from his hand and his possession. Or it will bring him no barakat, life of restlessness, worries and problems. So what I am saying is that this month of Ramadan, we take it very, very casually and very relaxed. We all know that we have to fast, so we abstain from some food, drink, dawn to sunset, and we are quite happy that we observe the fast. But it is a month in which we learn to restrain ourselves from everything that is haram. It is very shocking when people who are considered to be pious, considered to be righteous, considered to be of some kind of position, but they too sometimes for few miserable coins, they will sell their iman and they will sell their piety and taqwa. Just to give one example which suddenly came to mind, because I don't prepare and plan and come and sit here. Hazrat Maulana Ashraf Ali Sahib Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayh, one of his khalifas whom he had given khilafat, on one occasion he came to him with his little son. And then he introduced his son and he said that this is my son. He is doing hifz of the Quran Sharif or whatever he was doing. And we have just arrived. So he asked him a simple question. He said that, what is the age of your son? He said, my son's age is 12. He's completed his 12. So he said, how much did you pay in the train that you traveled if he just completed his 12? Then under 12 are half price. Over 12 is full ticket. So how much did you pay? Now look at the question that he asked. This is what we talk about, islah. So he said, I paid half. Said, why? He says, because he just completed his 12 and he just looks like a under 12. He took away his khilafat from him. He said, if you are going to cheat like this, then what do you expect your murids to do after that? So he took his khilafat away. He said, where's your taqwa? Where's your piety? All the tahajjud and zikr and tilawat that you made just for a few miserable rupees, you sold that away? So like this, there are so many incidents. This is what we mean. That there are so many people who purchase beautiful new cars. And they are pious. They are first saf musallis. Or they will be making tahajjud and ishraq and awabin and doing dini khidmat and works. But then they will disconnect the speedo cable. Why are they disconnecting that? So that when there is a resale of that vehicle, then they may get better value for it. Now where is that taqwa gone? Where is that piety gone? Then again in our business deals, in our homes, in our lives, if we have to look at it, then we are far, far away from taqwa. So just observing the fast will not bring us all that anwar and that barakat and that rahmat that there is in this month. Whether we like it or not, the rains of rahmat are pouring in this month. But our receivers have to be right. If the rain is pouring but we've got our bucket upside down, then will rain water fill up in that bucket? People go to Makkah Sharif, we go to Madinah Sharif, and we come back from there empty. And then what do we say? We say things have changed there. There's a lot of evils happening there. Indeed, lots of things are happening which may not be right. But nobody can deny that there's so much of noor that's pouring on the Kaaba Sharif. It's like a waterfall of noor. Even if you have to go to the Niagara Falls or the Victoria Falls, and when the rain or when the water falls from a height and at a volume, when it hits the ground, then the spray and the splash goes so far that you get drenched in that rain, in that water. And if it falls over the trees, then we say rainforest. If you walk under those trees, it's as if it's raining the whole day. But yet it is that same water which has splashed, which has... So they would imagine the rains of noor that's pouring on the green dome, on the rosa of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam. The rains of noor that's pouring from arsh of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the Kaabatullah Sharif. According to the hadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, 120 rahmat, 24 hours of the day, 60 for those making tawaf, 40 for those making salat, and 20 for those just looking at the Kaaba Sharif. So wherever you are sitting, you are getting drenched in that rains of noor. Then why is it that we still say we are coming back empty? Or why don't we find the signs and effects of those umrahs and hajj upon us? Reason is that we go there with our buckets upside down. So how do we expect it to fill up? We are indulging in the same kinds of sins and vices even there. Nevertheless, what I was going to speak on, but this is the thing that we have to understand, that taqwa, without that we cannot get anywhere. The weakness, the deficiency will be there. We cannot claim to be perfect and very holy and pious and righteous. So that little weakness and deficiency, we make plenty of istighfar and tawbah. But we don't get carried away by those miserable coins and sell our iman. Taqwa will be tested everywhere. The most beautiful girls will be in those colleges and in those universities where the student has to study. The doctor will be faced with such situations. The teachers will be faced with such situations. The lawyers will be faced with such situations where they have to attend to clients. So now on all such occasions, the person's taqwa will be tested. He will be looking at the patient, but at that time the doctor has to realize that somebody is watching me. If I'm going to indulge in any kind of vice or evil, or if I'm going to start fantasizing, or if I'm going to do anything that is not morally right, then Allah Ta'ala knows even what's going on in my heart. So whilst he's attending to the patient also, his dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe, wo sab ke saath reh ke bhi sab se juda rahe. That he will be still ba khuda. Lots of people ask about wuzu, that what are the virtues of staying in wuzu all the time. Indeed, they're great virtues. And a Muslim must try to stay in wuzu as much as possible. But because of the weakness of our bladders these days, it is not possible for everybody to stay in wuzu all the time. Also, everybody is complaining, suffering from gas problem. Hawa. पेट में हवा भरी हुई है. हज़रत मौला वसीउल्लाह रहमतुल्लाह अलैह वन डे वाज वॉकिंग डाउन द स्टेयर्स एंड वन पर्सन विद अ बिग बेली वाज रबिंग हिज हैंड ओवर हिज स्टमक. सो ही सेड क्या बात है. ही सेड हवा की शिकायत है, हवा. सो ही सेड हम भी यही कहते हैं कि आजकल हवा, वो हिर्स, हवा ने सबको बर्बाद कर दिया. ही टुक द मीनिंग, उर्दू मीनिंग हवा, मीनिंग ए गैस. एंड मौलाना वसीउल्लाह रहमतुल्लाह अलैह ही रिफर्ड टू ईवल पैशंस एंड डिजायर्स, द अरबिक वर्ड हवा. व अम्मा मन खाफ मकाम रब्बिही व नहन नफ्स अनिल हवा, द पर्सन हु फियर्ड स्टैंडिंग बिफोर अल्लाह ताला ऑन द डे ऑफ जजमेंट एंड ही रिस्ट्रेन हिमसेल्फ फ्रॉम ईवल पैशंस एंड डिजायर्स. सो देन जन्नत इज इज अबाउट. सो इसे हम भी यही कहते हैं कि आज हवा ने सबको बर्बाद कर रखा है. कोई पेट में हवा की शिकायत करता है और हम ये शिकायत करते हैं कि हमारे दिल और दिमाग में हवा घुसी हुई है, ईवल पैशंस एंड डिजायर्स. सो तक्वा इज गोइंग टू बी टेस्टेड एवरीवे एंड दिस मंथ ऑफ रमदान इज फॉर दैट वेरी पर्पज. Why is it that we've got that himmat, we've got that courage? We can't say we haven't got the willpower, we haven't got the strength to restrain ourselves from haram in other places. If we didn't have that willpower, then how is it that we are restraining ourselves from food and drink? The person is just married, he's got a very pretty wife, beautiful wife in his house, and there's no third person there. Then why is it that he's restraining himself from a lawful wife from dawn to sunset? So if he can restrain himself from a lawful wife from dawn to sunset, just because it is the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, cannot he restrain himself from those illicit women, from the haram love, which has become a scourge even in the month of Ramadan? People say, we haven't got the courage, we just get carried away. So this month of Ramadan, this verse of the Quran Sharif which I recited, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the verse before that, he talks about a bargain that he does, a bargain that he did, a deal that he did with the believers. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala purchased from the believers. Now this verse again you have heard many times. Let us refresh in our iman. Allah Ta'ala says he has purchased from the believers their souls, their lives and their wealth, and in exchange he has promised them Jannat. Because in this world, no matter how much Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives to us, but nobody can say that I can remain safe from any kind of pain, problem, difficulty, hardship. It's not possible. Even if the person has got a palace and he's got everything, he's got servants, he's got plenty of food, he's got plenty of clothing and plenty of everything, then to somewhere along the line he's going to suffer some kind of pain, injury, grief, sorrow. His father is going to die, his mother is going to die, his children are going to die, or somebody in the family is going to suffer some kind of accident or something. So he's going to feel the grief and sorrow. So this world you cannot get everything. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, I'm promising them Jannat. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَعَتْ وَلَا عُزُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ, in which Allah Ta'ala has for the believers that which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and the thought also hasn't crossed any person's mind. Jannat, in which there's going to be no pain, no difficulty, no malice, no greed, no pride, no arrogance. Nobody will cause anybody any kind of injury or pain or sorrow. There'll be nobody cheating and deceiving and holding up and hijacking and murdering and killing. Nothing. Enjoy yourself, that is where we have to enjoy. This is a place where we have to prepare. But it's Allah Ta'ala's ihsan that to the believers he gives it in this world to some extent, so that they may enjoy the ni'mats here and think of the ni'mats of Jannat. So Allah Ta'ala says he has done this bargain. And after that it goes on that what are the sifats of these people whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has done this bargain with. In fact, in the Hadith Sharif it has been mentioned, Hazrat Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when they took the pledge at Aqaba, about 70 of them took the pledge before Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made hijrah and went to Madinah Tayyibah. So there they told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that you give us your conditions about this pledge that you are taking from us, you give us your conditions, what must we do? said, what you must do is that worship none but Allah. Now just in that one word, worship none but Allah, the whole of Islam, whole of Shariat, whole of Deen is, it's a comprehensive thing. Doesn't mean that just make Salat. So he said, you worship none but Allah and ascribe no partners to Him. That's what you have to do. And then, the second condition he said is with regards to, they said, and with regards to yourself, what do you want us to do? One is about the Deen of Allah. He said, is that you protect me as you would protect your life and properties. Now imagine Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is telling them that you give me protection when I come to Medina Sharif as you would protect your life and properties. So it's not that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was in need of their protection. Allah Ta'ala himself called Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mutawakkil, sammaitukal mutawakkil, the one who had the greatest trust in Allah Ta'ala. But for you and I, for people who are weak, and because it's a world of means, so Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is teaching a lesson. Otherwise it would have been haram for us to have any kind of burglar guard, any kind of security equipment, any kind of guard outside our homes and outside our businesses. We would have said that that shows that we got no trust in Allah Ta'ala. And some people who do not have proper knowledge of Deen and Sharia, and they just have some kind of kitabi knowledge, then they go to those conclusions that if they see some guard outside the house of some great buzruk or some Maulana Sahab or some wali of Allah Ta'ala, then they say, what kind of wali is this? He's got no trust in Allah Ta'ala, that he's got burglar guards and he's got even a guard outside that too. So look at ihsan of Allah Ta'ala upon us. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that you must give me protection like you would protect your own lives and properties. To show that we can make use of all these means, but we must not have trust in those means. Our trust must be in Allah Ta'ala alone. A person can have the best of security equipment, but still he can get hijacked and murdered and killed. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said this, the Sahaba ikram said, or those who took the pledge, they said immediately, this is a wonderful bargain and we will never exchange this for anything. And we will never cancel this deal. That we will get Jannat in exchange for this. Because they asked Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, what will we get in exchange? He said, you will get Jannat. If it had been us, we would have asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jannat. Jannat is very far away. Tell us something, what we can get cash. Because we all run cash and carry shops here. We want cash, we want in this world. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam even promised what is cash in this world. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives so much. And that is that promise which you have heard so many times now. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. Allah ta'ala will find a way out for that person in his problems, in his difficulties, in his... And Allah ta'ala will provide for him from sources unknown and unexpected. The person won't even know how this came, how this customer came, how this client came, from where did he suddenly pitch up. The business was very quiet. The whole day the person was killing flies there. These days our shops are so clean that sometimes there's no fly to kill too. But suddenly some customer pitches up and he purchases great amount. So Allah Ta'ala will send. The person had no job, but he's got taqwa. Suddenly he finds someone. What are you doing, my brother? Say, nothing, I'm looking for a job. Right, come with me. I've got something for you. And he puts him onto the right track. So who is it that creates those means? So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives cash also in this world. Nevertheless, so the sahabas got very, very happy that this was a beautiful transaction. So that is what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala referred to as وَبَشِّرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. So give glad tiding to them. They have done a very great deal. And he claimed, and he said that this is supreme success. So after that, some of the sifats and qualities have been mentioned of those people whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala promises Jannat. He says he has purchased their lives and properties, and who is it that has given that in the first place? It's Allah Ta'ala. It's just like we give to those little children, sometimes we give them a whole slab of chocolate. And then we say, give me a little piece from that. Now the child says, no, I don't want to give, it's mine. It's mine. So who is it that gave that? So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala blessed us first of all with whatever we have. And I've mentioned this many times in the past also, that if we have to look at anything that we have got, anything that we claim we have achieved, how did we get it? We got it either by our own hard work and effort. So if we made our effort, we put in hard work, and many people say that, I earned it, I worked very hard for it, it's mine. Indeed, it's yours for the purposes of this world. But that hard work that you put in, how were you able to put in that hard work? What did you use to put in that hard work? We agree you worked very hard. But what did you put in to do that hard work? You used your head, your intelligence. If the person earned his living through computers and through all the other things that require intelligence, then now where did that intelligence come from? Or the person used his hands, he used his feet, he used the physical health that he had. Now where did all that come from? So whether we like it or not, it has come from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Or the person earned it as inheritance. The inheritance, if he earned it, then who caused him to be born in that family? Did he have a choice? Did anybody have a choice? That we sat back and first of all we decided that we wish to be born in a royal palace, and then the person was born in a royal palace. It's not that. Allah Ta'ala decided who must be born where. So somebody was born in a shack, somebody was born in a palace, somebody was born in a mansion, somebody was born on the street, and somebody was born on the railway platform, and different places, and on the aeroplane. Allah Ta'ala only knows where the person is going to be born and to which family he is going to be born. So now somebody that was born in a rich family, when the father died, the person sat back and inherited. There are so many children, their fathers have died and they've left behind for the millions, and those children are still in the nappies. How many cases there are such? I was dealing with one inheritance case where the person, where the child's father and mother passed away in an accident. And that father was a millionaire. Now the child is already a millionaire but is wearing napkin. The child doesn't even know I'm a millionaire. Now who is it that made that child a millionaire in that napkin still? So that again comes from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. If somebody gave a gift and the person got it, then where did that gift come from? So whichever way you look at it, it is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who has blessed us with it. But then just to make us happy, we are like little babies and children. So to make us happy, Allah ta'ala says, all right, it's yours. But if it's yours, now I want to purchase it from you. And in exchange, I want to give you Jannat. And then look at Allah Ta'ala's ihsan after purchasing it. In this world, if somebody says, I've purchased your car. Now you sold it to him, after that what? He'll take the car and go away. But here Allah Ta'ala, after purchasing it, he gives it back to us. Right, now use it. Until your dying day, now use it. Use your health, use your wealth, use that same property, use your life, use everything that I've given to you. I've purchased it, but I'm giving it back to you. Now use it. But the only thing, just obey my commands. Use it in this particular manner. And for that, again, I'm giving you Jannat. Mala'at. Allah Ta'ala is so kind, so merciful. My dear beloved brothers, let us build up this contact with our Allah. And then see what you enjoy in your hearts. This has got nothing to do with speeches. It's got nothing to do with speeches. If a person has been told this is sugar and it is sweet, and you say, now explain what is sweetness. The person can go on and on and on explaining what is sweetness, but he cannot explain to the person who hasn't tasted something sweet that what is sweet. The only way to taste sweetness or to know what is sweetness is to enjoy that sweetness, to taste it. Wallah, I'm telling you that there is such sweetness in this ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala. There's such sweetness that the person would like to divorce himself from everything else. He would just like to be secluded and he would just like to enjoy that sweetness of this bond with Allah Ta'ala. But because we are again in a world of means, so Allah Ta'ala doesn't want us to run away to the mountain top or go away into the jungle or go away to some other place and drown ourselves. We will live with the people, we will live in society, we will be happy, cheerful, earn, marry, upbring children, do everything. دنیا کے مشغلوں میں بھی وہ با خدا رہے وہ سب کے ساتھ رہ کے بھی سب سے جدا رہے. They are amongst us but they are not in with us. Their hearts are with Allah Ta'ala. When they're laughing, they are with Allah Ta'ala. When they're joking, they're with Allah Ta'ala. When they're eating and drinking, they are with Allah Ta'ala. When they're with their wives and children, they're with Allah Ta'ala. We will say, how can that be? It's simple and easy. If a person has got a court case coming up and is charged for murder, he has been charged for murder and he knows he committed that crime also. Now he'll be eating, but his mind is in that case. He'll be drinking, but his mind is in that case. He'll be marrying, but his mind is in that case. He'll be walking and talking with us, but his mind is in that case. He will be passing some time, he'll be walking, and he knows his best friend, but he will pass him by, he won't make salam. Why? He hasn't recognized him. Why he hasn't recognized him? Because his mind is somewhere else. So there is such kind of sweetness that Allah Ta'ala has kept him. And some people, Allah Ta'ala gives them that sweetness in this world, whilst they're making zikrullah also. Such sweetness. The other day I asked one question. I said, which sharbat is that? Sharbat. Sweet sharbat. Milkshake or sweet sharbat, which a person can drink and his fast won't break. No mufti of the world will give a fatwa that his fast broke. And yet he's drinking something that's really sweet. So I said, the reply to that is the sweetness of the name of Allah Ta'ala. And I'm not talking metaphorically. Real sweetness, true sweetness. Sometimes the mouths, not of us, we are all very weak, but sometimes the mouths of the Ahlullah, it fills up with such sweetness. It's like a sweet drink. Now if that person has to swallow his saliva, no mufti of the world will give fatwa that his fast broke. So we all want this, but we just don't want to take those few steps of restraining ourselves from haram in our lives. Just a few steps and then see, it is the month of Ramadan. Let us not waste it. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the understanding. There's great amount of virtues and great amount of rahmat of Allah that's pouring. We must make dua, inshallah we'll continue with this. We make dua, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the trials, the problems of the ummah, and Allah Ta'ala give us that connection and that bond with Him, that nafs and shaitan cannot distance us from Him, and we enjoy the sweetness of that bond 24 hours of our life, 24 hours of our day. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.